Welcome to another edition of the Volunteer State. I'm Blake Topmeyer with John Adams of the Knoxville News Sentinel. John, a pretty noteworthy development in the Lady Vols sphere last week with Duke women's basketball making the hire of former Lady Vol Kara Lawson as its head coach. And Kara Lawson had been an assistant coach with the Boston Celtics and made the decision to leave the NBA bench to take over her own program at Duke. What was your reaction to that?
I was really surprised at that, Blake, because I thought she was maybe she was on track becoming a head coach in the NBA. I just think she's very bright. She really knows the game. She proved that just as an analyst. So I don't think it's that far-fetched to think she could have become the NBA's first female head coach. It's still a possibility. So, I was kind of surprised that you just get this NBA. You're really in now with the NBA and to leave that for a college coaching job.
Yeah, I was interested. I read Lawson's comments at her introductory press conference, which, as with everything these days, was conducted via Zoom. But I was reading through her comments that she talked about, you know, taking the Duke job. And, of course, you know, of course, everybody is complimentary of the program that they choose whenever they become a head coach. But it really, you know, it did kind of jump out to me that it seemed like she had Duke on her short list of places where she would really like to be a head coach. You know, it didn't just seem like, you know, she was looking to make a 1-year jump from being NBA assistant to coaching somewhere as a head coach and whatever. But I mean, you know, it really sounded like this was on a short list before the job even came open, and the job does come open. And so she decided to go ahead and make that move. What impact do you think she could have there? And do you think it makes sense for her to have Duke as kind of a shortlist job?
Yeah, I think it does. I mean, even though the women's program at Duke has come nowhere close to what the men's program has done, it's still a high-level program. It still has great potential. Of course, it has a great academic reputation. So I think that was something that was important to her. And we go back to – I read her comments, too. We go back to when she was recruited, and her father wanted her to go to Duke to play basketball. Maybe it's a kind of way, well, Dad, I'm going to Duke after all. You know, you should thank me for this. Another thing to consider with this, Blake, is in the women's game, when you look at the college women's game, it's a bigger deal and receives more publicity nationally than the WNBA does. And I don't know if that's how much of a factor that is with her, but for women, I mean, let's face it, playing in the women's Final Four in college, a lot more people are aware of that than they are the WNBA finals.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, maybe she thinks of this as competing at the highest level of her sport. Not from a player's perspective, but there are a lot of great coaches in the college game. More so when you think about when you start trying to name great coaches in the WNBA, I think it's harder to come up with names.
Yeah, I think Kara Lawson was someone on certainly a lot of Lady Vols fans' wish list when the Tennessee job came open, you know, a year ago. And I think for a lot of Lady Vols fans, their choices were 1 and 1A between Kara Lawson and Kelly Harper. Now, certainly some other fans were more open to the possibility of hiring someone who didn't play at Tennessee or didn't play for Pat Summitt. But there were certainly a portion of the fan base that thought that this job needed to go to someone who played for Pat Summitt. And in fact, Philip Fulmer said at Kelly Harper's introductory press conference that, you know, he was instructed by fellow administrators at Tennessee that the hire needed to be someone who had played at Tennessee. Well, that obviously narrows the field of potential candidates and really leaves Lawson and Harper as two of the prominent options. What do you think this means for Tennessee now? The fact that Fulmer went with Kelly Harper makes that higher. She's now got one season under her belt here with the Lady Vols. But now you have Kara Lawson, another former Lady Vol, another person that was, you know, on the wish list of some fans when this job last came open, is now the head coach of a different women's program.
Well, you could say that it's puts more pressure on Kelly Harper in a way. I mean, if I think fans will look at it, if Kara Lawson has great immediate success at Duke, there will be comparisons. I think it would be more so, though, if she would have taken a job in the SEC. Mm-hmm. Let's say Kara Lawson had gone to Texas A&M, and you're competing with her for a conference championship. But I don't really think that will affect Kelly Harper any. I think she had an okay first season, and she's recruiting well now. And I think a lot of fans really like her. And so we'll see. But I just think the fact that it's that Kara Lawson is in another conference, and a tough conference too, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, she's got a real challenge every bit as much as Kelly Harper. Now, Kelly Harper has more tradition to live up to, certainly. But I think Kara Lawson, there's a lot of because she's such a known person. She's so high profile because of her work with ESPN, mm-hmm. and then getting the Celtics job. And so she's at a higher level, which raises the expectations. I'm sure there are a lot of Duke fans that think she will come in there and have immediate success, major success. And keep in mind that Duke was not even interested in Gail Gustenkors, who a former Duke coach who left for Texas, didn't fare as well at Texas, but had really good success at Duke and was really had a really good relationship apparently with players, because there was a number of former players endorsed her. So now, okay, you don't want Gustenkors, who had success at your school, and it's almost as though Duke said, yeah, she did a good job here, but we think we can do better with this hire. So to me, I think that puts pressure on Kara Lawson too. And I'm not saying that will affect her in any way. She's, I think it may motivate her even more.
Yeah, it's an interesting point I think you made about this might increase some pressure on Kelly Harper, but not as much as if Kara Lawson was coaching an SEC program. I would agree with that, and I would take it one step further and say that if I was to offer a piece of advice to Kelly Harper, and she probably doesn't need mine, but if I was to offer one, I would say don't schedule any future games with Duke, because I don't think anything really good could come of stepping on the same court as a Kara Lawson coach team. If you win, okay, well, you're Tennessee, right? Like, the Lady Vols are always expected to to win and assert their dominance, right? If you lose to a fellow former Lady Vol, that's not going to be good and not going to do you any favors for, you know, like you said, maybe any perceived pressure there. So that would be something I would recommend. As much fun as it would be, you know, for folks like us in the media to see Kara Lawson versus Kelly Harper, and I think it would be tough for fans maybe to see Kara Lawson coaching against Tennessee directly in a head-to-head game. But I also just – I don't think that Tennessee really stands to benefit from that.
Perhaps not. I don't know if Kelly will take your advice, though, Blake. I think she's quite confident in what she can do. And I don't think it would bother her that, Kara Lawson, another Lady Vol point guard, is it Duke? Got to stay away from her. Maybe she'll look at it. If she doesn't come across publicly as this fierce competitor, I don't think, not as maybe some other coaches do. They seem to be wound pretty tight, but I think she's very competitive. So I don't know that she would shy away from that. What would really have been interesting if Geno had retired at UConn and Kara Lawson would taken the UConn job.
Yeah, that would have really spiced things up. Yeah, let's say, John, let's wade into the hypotheticals, I guess. Let's say both these jobs were open in the same cycle, and let's say you're a coaching, you are Kara Lawson or you're Kelly Harper, and you have your pick of either job. Who would be your choice?
Boy, that's a tough one. I think I would probably take Tennessee. I think Tennessee is no longer the dominant program in its own conference. I think South Carolina, and with Dawn Staley, it's the number one program. I mean, it's a program you expect to contend for national championships regularly. But I still think Tennessee, in terms of fan support, let's face it, Duke's men's basketball overshadows everything else at that school. I think Tennessee has a larger following, and Kelly Harper's doing pretty well in recruiting, and I think the name resonates, and it's an unusual situation in that I think playing at Pat Summitt School is always going to mean something. Her name will never fade away because she was a standard bearer for not just women's basketball, but for women in general, a powerful leadership figure. I just think that will always mean something. I think it's easier to recruit to Tennessee than it would be to Duke.
I agree with all that, and I don't know that I necessarily disagree with you with your choice there, but let me throw some devil's advocate, I guess, points out there. You mentioned the value of Pat Summitt's name still at Tennessee. On the counter side of that, I think you're always going to be coaching in her shadow, so you have to be comfortable with that. And then on top of that, I think there is some risk to returning to your alma mater to coach. You know, if you're a beloved player, you're always going to be a beloved former player. You're always going to be beloved by your alma mater. Now, certainly maybe the reward is greater to returning to your alma mater as a coach and uplifting the program. But I think the risk is also very high too. You know, we saw that with Holly Warlick, the way a fan base can turn on a beloved member of its history. And so I do think that there is, you know, I guess you could say greater risk, greater reward for returning to your alma mater to become the head coach there.
I agree with you. That's a very valid point. But let's take it, let's remove the former player angle. Mm-hmm. And just look at the two jobs separately, devoid of that, and just think of it. If you're a coach at Kansas State or Wisconsin or Oregon State, and the Tennessee and Duke jobs both come open.
Right.
Which job do you want?
Yeah, I think it's an easier decision there. I think it's Tennessee.
I think the other, I mean, I don't know how much of a role this plays now. Duke's hallowed reputation as a great academic school. I don't know how much that applies to basketball, and you could argue that a degree from Duke means more than a degree from Tennessee. I mean, I think most people would think of Duke as having a much better academic reputation. I don't know how much that would factor into it, but would it be harder to get? Would there be some players that you might not could get into Duke that you could get into Tennessee? I don't know. But I just think when you look overall and also when you talk about risk reward, and you don't have to be an ex-Lady Vol to feel the pressure from coaching at Pat Summitt School.
Mm.
The statue's right across the street from the arena. But I just think she was so revered. It's such an unusual situation. She wasn't just successful in terms of winning games, that I think a lot of coaches feel that they're making as much money as they are because Pat Summitt came before them. She didn't just elevate Tennessee basketball, she elevated women's basketball. And Gino will be the first to tell you that. And so it had an effect on everybody. And I think so, where some of them might look at it, okay, I'm not going to try and be as good as Pat Summitt was. I don't know if that's possible because we put her up on a pedestal, but I would like to honor her memory by being as good as I could be at her school. So to me, that might have a pull.
We don't know Kara Lawson's level of interest in the Lady Vols job when it was open. We don't, she's never spoken about that, whether she had strong interest, mild interest, no interest. We do not know. But if you were Tennessee's athletic director and if you had the option of hiring Kelly Harper or Kara Lawson, who do you think you would have hired?
I probably would have hired Kara Lawson if she would have taken the job. The reason being Kelly's track record at other schools wasn't great. Now I'm comparing that with a player, with a coaching candidate who has no coaching track record, really.
Right.
But see, that to me, the unknown, that would have had potential. And so I might have gone that route. See, I wouldn't have gone the way Tennessee did at all. I wouldn't have tried to get a Lady Vols, an ex-Lady Vol. I would have tried to hire Louisville's coach or another coach of that magnitude nationally. I would want someone that has been to Final Fours, that has competed for national championships, and Kelly hadn't done that. But I will say that I think I've been impressed with what she's done in recruiting, and I don't think it's fair to judge anybody on one season. Her first season, it's a transitional year, so Tennessee may have made her a really good hire in Kelly Harper, and maybe a better. She may prove to be a more successful head coach than Kara did. But again, going in, that's what I would have looked at.
Yeah, and yeah, Harper's certainly got the experience that especially for someone at this her age, she's got a lot of years of head coaching experience, having been at Western Carolina and made, you know, the NCAA tournament a couple times there, then at NC State, you know, where you kind of alluded to there in her track record, it didn't go particularly well at NC State, and she was fired there. But then at Missouri State, she had great success and was coming off of that Sweet 16 run and had previously led Missouri State to a NCAA appearance a couple years before that. So, yeah, her experience is kind of back and forth. She in some ways, you know, had a pretty nice resume, but in other ways, I guess it depends how much weight you put on that 4-year stretch there at NC State, which was her only other Power Five experience. And as you said, with Kara Lawson, it would have been perhaps a bigger roll of the dice because, you know, the beyond her work with USA Basketball and the 3-on-3 coaching, there was really no coaching experience to pull on. But obviously that didn't dissuade the Boston Celtics from adding her as an assistant to the staff. And I do wonder, though, how much that 1 year of experience with the Celtics really improved Lawson's resume and made a program even more comfortable with viewing her as head coaching material, the fact that she did have that year of experience now as an assistant coach with the Celtics.
Well, look at it from when you're trying to recruit a player, you're also selling your coach's resume. And although the resume doesn't include a college record, no wins, no losses, Kara Lawson is such a high-profile figure. She was on ESPN, and she showed her basketball IQ as an analyst. Not all analysts do. I thought she was able to convey to the audience what she could do on a court. as a point guard. But not all point guards can do that. They may be a great on-the-floor leader, but they can't necessarily convey that to the layman. And I thought she was really good at that. And so you take her ESPN experience and the image that she produced from that, and you add to it a storied franchise. Okay, it's maybe been a while since the Celtics were storied, but but still, you're connecting her with two huge sports brands, ESPN and the Boston Celtics. I just think that's, you know, that means a lot more maybe than being, well, let me introduce a head coach, former head coach of the University of Indiana or Missouri or wherever. ESPN, Boston Celtics.
Right. And if you, you know, if you followed her time with the Celtics, the players, I mean, she was a big hit with that team. I think the players there really enjoyed learning under her and her time on staff. And I think the Celtics were, you know, understanding of the opportunity for her, but also sad to see her leave their staff after one season and see her go. And it is so interesting. I do wonder, you know, this maybe isn't the last the NBA has seen of Kara Lawson. This doesn't have to be a permanent move for her, but if things go really well for at Duke, you know, it's hard to leave a program, you know, a good program. If you really get it humming, it would be hard to leave. But I do wonder, you know, might she have more options for her down the road? Because it does seem like someone whose career continues to be on the upward trajectory.
Well, you can use that in negative recruiting against her, but you know, you tell a player, well, yeah, you can go there and play for Kara Lawson for what, a year? She'll be gone to the NBA. The first time the NBA gives her a call, she's gone. She has a chance to be a trailblazer. But, you know, you maybe can enjoy a year or two with her. Good luck with that.
I'm always amazed, John, at the ideas you can come up with how to use something as negative recruiting. You could really give a lot of advice to some people if they want to beef up their skills and negative recruiting. You're always coming up with these possible narratives someone can use to negative recruiting.
Yeah, I guess it's one of my few hidden talents.
All right. Well, on that note, I think we'll leave things there. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Volunteer State.